EAA PANS sleep apnea testing. The government shutdown was costly to general aviation and the FCC to consider phoning home while in flight. This is Aero News for Friday, November 22nd, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. EAA's Chairman Jack Pelton and EAA Aeromedical Advisory Council Chairman Dr. Stephen Leonard have sent a strongly worded letter to FAA Administrator Michael Huerta detailing EAA's strenuous objection to the sleep apnea testing policy announced in the current Federal Air Surgeons Medical Bulletin. The policy outlined by Dr. Fred Tilton, the Federal Air Surgeon, mandates testing for obstructive sleep apnea for all FAA medical certificate applicants with a body mass index, or BMI, greater than 40 and a neck size greater than 17 inches. However, the air surgeon made it clear that those mandate minimums were only a starting point, noting, quote, "Once we have appropriately dealt with every airman examinee who has a BMI of 40 or greater, we will gradually expand the testing pool until we have identified and assured treatment for every airman with OSA," end quote. Pelton and Leonard, with concurrence from the entire EAA Aeromedical Advisory Council, composed of experienced aviation medical examiners, wrote that the policy announcement was, quote, "most surprising and distressing because there is little or no evidence of aviation safety having been compromised by sleep apnea," end quote. The letter continues, saying, quote, "FAA's charge is to protect the flying public, not to practice predictive medicine or further public health policy," end quote. The White House Office of Management and Budget has released its estimates of the economic impact of the partial government shutdown in October. Among the specific items mentioned in the report was delayed aircraft purchases and deliveries caused by the closure of the FAA's aircraft registry. Gamma estimates that this delayed 156 aircraft deliveries valued at $1.9 billion, the report says. The report also says that the FAA is currently working to clear the backlog of delayed registrations. NBAA President Ed Boland said that, quote, "because business aviation is more regulated than other industries, the shutdown has had a far more dire impact on business aviation than for other industries," end quote. The shutdown also prevented the timely and full investigation of 59 airplane accidents by the NTSB, with the report noting, again quoting, "with the large majority of its workforce furloughed, the NTSB was only able to launch investigations into two aviation accidents during the shutdown, putting it behind schedule for these and other ongoing investigations. The NTSB was also forced to reschedule two important public investigative hearings," end quote. The tentative agenda for the FCC meeting on December 12, 2013, includes an item that will address the use of mobile communications on commercial aircraft, essentially discussing whether to allow passengers to use their cell phones during flight. Should this be passed, the next stage will be a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, NPRM. The proposal was announced to mixed reviews. On the one hand, the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, said in a statement that, quote, "passengers overwhelmingly reject cell phone use in the aircraft cabin. The FCC should not proceed with this proposal," end quote. However, OnAir, a company that offers both in-flight Wi-Fi and cellular service, backs the FCC's proposal. The company says its in-flight mobile phone service has flown with more than 55 airlines on thousands of flights across the world since 2007, with the full backing of over 100 national authorities. There has not been a single complaint about disruption caused by people making calls. The German company eVolo, together with a network of notable partners from the fields of research and industry, is pressing ahead with the development of the technology for the Volocopter during the next few years. The Volocopter is an electric-powered, multi-rotor VTOL aircraft. Think of it as being like a quadcopter UAV, but on steroids, with the ability to carry a pilot and a passenger. According to the eVolo website, a 2-year development phase flight testing program is underway. The application for a designation of a specific aeronautical classification of Volocopter has also been started. Among other things, autonomous test flights over uninhabited areas for days on end are planned in order to test and demonstrate the reliability of the electronic steering and the diverse safety concepts in an uninterrupted flight. The maiden flight and first test flights were conducted in an indoor arena with the prototype of the two-person VC-200 on Sunday, November 17, 2013. A production model based on the prototype will be developed in the coming years, the company says. When Aero News continues, the times, they are a-changing. It seemed a good idea at the time, and a new take off on landing fees.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics now offers dealer-only repair services for Bendix King, Mode S transponders, radar altimeters, and HF systems. For expert repairs and quick turnarounds, count on Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Aero News continues for Friday, November 22nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. For 75 years, Ed Brown and later his family has owned and operated Monmouth Executive Airport in eastern New Jersey. But all that has changed with the sale of the airport announced Thursday. The new owners are Wall Aviation LLC, who said that changes at the airport will happen, quote-unquote, immediately. Among those changes are a new FBO, the national chain AvFuel, effective today. But some of the airport's traditional tenants, such as Jersey Shore skydiving or banner towing operations, may not be compatible with the new owner's vision for the airport. The banner towing planes, which operate out of the airport over the nearby Jersey Shore, are businesses that the new owner likes but may not be compatible. He said they will eventually be, quote-unquote, ebbed out and relocated to other airports in the area. The airport had been home to a number of businesses while it was owned by Ed Brown, some of them not aviation-related. They included a golf driving range, a drive-in, fly-in movie theater, and a bowling alley. One tenant had manufactured computer circuit boards until illegally dumping toxic materials on the property, which the EPA has cleaned up. Ed Brown passed away in 2006, about the time that Wall Aviation LLC began to try to buy the airport. It has been operated by his stepson, Jack Taylor, for the past 12 years. It was a stunt that harkened back to the old barnstorming days when pilots would fly low over a community to entice people to come out to a nearby airfield for airplane rides, but there were a lot fewer regulations back then. A modern-day barnstormer ran afoul of the law and had his M-squared Breeze II LSA on floats confiscated by the Monroe County, Florida Sheriff's Office after he buzzed a group of boaters anchored on a sandbar near Isla Mirada, Florida, at an altitude of about 25 feet on September 14th, then landed and offered the boaters rides for, quote-unquote, three $20 bills. Well, it turns out that not only did the pilot not have a commercial certificate allowing him to offer flights for compensation, he didn't even have a private or light sport certificate. He compounded his offenses by flying an unregistered airplane. WJTV in Miami reports that he might have gotten away with it, but he was observed by a vacationing FAA inspector. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office confiscated the airplane and charged 46-year-old John Walsh with possessing an unregistered aircraft and operating it in a careless manner. Walsh, who said his primary income is from, quote-unquote, resort investments, said he was offering the rides for fun. Pilot Brian Nicholson was flying along, minding his own business one day last August when his airplane's engine clunked and then started vibrating very badly, according to the pilot. The plane lost power and Nicholson declared an emergency. He reportedly dodged overpasses and signs on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, Route 43, and made as close to a perfect emergency landing as he could. Both he and the co-pilot on board the airplane walked away. Well, that was in August. More recently, Nicholson just got a bill from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for nearly $3,000. He was charged for overtime cost for the highway workers who were on the scene while they waited for the plane to be towed away. And that's after he paid over $1,000 to have the plane disassembled and put on a truck for transport because they would not allow him to fly off the turnpike. In a statement, the state said, quote, "It is standard practice for the turnpike to seek reparations after an incident that necessitates involvement of our personnel." Nicholson said he is concerned that the bill from the turnpike may have a chilling effect on pilots who might attempt a riskier landing rather than taking a nice, smooth, paved highway in an emergency. It was one of the saddest days in our nation's history when Air Force One lifted off from Dallas Love Field, carrying the body of the late President John F. Kennedy and the newly sworn-in President Lyndon B. Johnson. I was a mere boy of 10 years old in fifth grade science class when the news broke. Today, as I record this podcast, it is in part because of those dark days 50 years ago. Watching and listening to the round-the-clock news coverage, what today we would call 24/7, I was unknowingly but unquestionably guided into a career as a broadcaster and as a journalist. That day and the events that followed marked me forever as an individual, as a Texan, and as an American. Others have said it far more eloquently than I can. Johnny, we hardly knew ye. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.